Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be here. This is Steve Kluth, Dr. Kluth. Stand up so they know who you are, Steve. And one of our lawyers, Michael Adams. Stand up, Michael. These are great men. I am blessed with an incredible staff. I have people come up all the time and thank me for things in our ministry that I wasn't even aware we did. And I tell them, you got to understand, there's all these people working. Today, every Sunday, we're inundated with phone calls of things legally that happened against churches. And that's every Sunday. How many of you understand we need God to touch America? Amen. We need God to touch America. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 1, to Psalm 1. Boy, I love getting the privilege to be with the Matthews family here. And I'm thrilled that young man got married. Now, I should let his bride know of a little ministry we have on the side that we've had for years. If you're ever upset with them for any reason, we don't care, big or small, irrelevant to us. You call us, we kill them for you. And we'll do it with great biblical joy, okay? So you keep her happy and you'll be just fine. By the way, I've lived under that threat for 59 years, so you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And what a joy to get to be with your pastor, Brother Riggs. He is my son's dear friend. But I've watched this man. And your pastor's the real deal. I want to say this about the Matthews, too. They're singing groups that I know of, the best you get is what you see on the platform. Because they don't live off the platform what they sing on the platform. This group lives what they sing. And your preacher, wow, all these years I've watched him live with integrity exactly the things he's preaching. And it's just a privilege and an honor for us to get to be here. And thank you, by the way, for singing It Is Well With My Soul. That was written by an attorney, a Chicago lawyer by the name of Horatio Spafford, was going to take his family on a trip to Europe. And he got detained by a business matter. And so he sent them on ahead. They were crossing the ocean in an ocean liner, and it sunk. And he lost his family. And one of his law partners came to him and said, Horatio, you're always talking about how good your God is. Now that you've lost so deeply, what have you got to say? And he said, all I can say is, it is well with my soul. Well with my soul. Boy, praise the Lord for that. I love to preach from Psalm 1 because it was George Washington's favorite psalm. George Washington said, absent Psalm 1, there'd never be an America. So when he was inaugurated president, he had the preacher preach from Psalm 1, and he preached for over 2 hours from Psalm 1. I'm not going to do that this morning. But let me tell you what Psalm 1 says. The God you serve, and how many of you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Amen. The God you serve says if you will do 3 things, and he tells you exactly what they are, he said do these 3 things and whatever you do will prosper. But then he gives a word of warning. And he says, don't do these 3 things. And it will take next to nothing to blow you away. You will be hyper, hyper unstable. Now, no one in their right mind came to church this morning with the idea, I want to leave here where people look at me and say, what an unstable lady. What an unstable man. Boy, it takes next to nothing to knock them over in life. But God said, do these 3 things, whatever you do will prosper. Let's read the scripture, Psalm 1, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's the three things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now get ready, here comes the promise. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, say out loud together the next two words, shall prosper. Now, do you understand? That's not a promise from David Gibbs. That's not a promise from this church or Pastor Riggs. That's a promise from God. And the God you serve, who is all-powerful, says, do these three things, and whatever you do will prosper. But please look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Now, the godly are the people who do it God's ways. That's what's in verse 1. God says, do it my way, and whatever you do will prosper. Ungodly means not godly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. My family was in the cattle slaughtering business when I grew up. And my family slaughtered 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 head of cattle every week, shipped them all over America, some of it around the world. And we raised a lot of cattle and we grew a lot of corn. Every year my family would put in thousands of acres of corn. And when we'd harvest all of that corn, we'd be putting it in silos and trench bunks. And I learned something. On that corn comes a thing called chaff. It's the dust off of the corn. And when you'd be harvesting that corn, the chaff would be everywhere. And it takes next to nothing to disturb it. The slightest little breeze comes along and goes, and that chaff goes flying up, goes down your nose, down your throat, up your pant legs, under your ball cap. It's everywhere. It's super unstable. Whoa. Well, God says, do these three things, and whatever you do will prosper. But don't do it, you're exactly like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It'll take next to nothing to blow you over. Please listen carefully to this. Everywhere I run in America, I meet wonderful people who are not stable. It takes next to nothing to blow them away. It just takes something unexpected, and all of a sudden, they're like the chaff dust. Nobody wants an unstable mom. Nobody wants an unstable dad or husband or wife. Unstable grandparents, unstable teenagers. Whoa. In fact, we've gotten so comfortable with people being unstable, we even say, boy, whatever you do, don't upset them. No telling where they'll go. Amen. Amen. And God says, listen, I don't want you to live that way. I want you to do these three things, and you will know prosperity. Whatever you do will prosper. Let's look at the three things together. Starts out with this, verse 1, blessed is the man. Now, the word blessed means blessable. Do you realize God wants to bless you this morning? He wants to. Blessed is the man. How many of you have children? Hold your hand up, yeah. How many of you love them more than you could ever say? Yeah. How many of you want to kill them on occasion? Sure. There's moments that while you want to bless a child, they're not blessable. There's moments where mom's got to be mom, dad's got to be dad, and say, hey, where in the world did you think you could get away with that, young man? Young lady, what were you dreaming when you thought that? You want to bless them, but they got to be blessable. God says, blessed is the man. If you walk out of here without God's blessing today, it's because you chose to do so. Can you imagine? You chose to be unstable. You chose to be like chaff, where it takes next to nothing to blow you away. Now look at the three things. He says, number one, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Every single person in this room is 100% in control of the counsel you let in your life. The word counsel means influence. It means input. What did you let in your life last week? God says, I do not want you to get the counsel of the not God's way stuff. The counsel of the ungodly. Now, when God created you, he created you with two access points for counsel. And listen carefully, because anybody who wants to reach you with their influence knows this. God created you with eyes and ears. Because if I want to influence you, I got to capture your eyes or capture your ears. Hey, watch this, watch this. Look here, look here, look at this. That's because I want in. Hey, listen to this, listen to this. That's how somebody gets in. This past week, whoever wanted to influence you and counsel you said, give me your eyes, look at this, look here, look here, look here. Give me your ears, listen to this. Because if they can get your ears, they're in. If they can get your eyes, they're in. And the world knows this. And all of a sudden, you've got everybody wanting to counsel you. And you are 100% in control of where you put your eyes and where you put your ears. In Sunday school, we teach the kids a little song. Many of you probably learned it. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. How many of you know that song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Where did you get comfortable putting your eyes last week? Where did you get comfortable putting your ears? And did you let the counsel of the not God's way stuff, the counsel of the ungodly in? The first TV I ever saw belonged to my grandparents. Way out in the country, almost nobody had one. And it was a terrible TV, a terrible TV. It was full of white snow. How many of you remember the white snow televisions? I mean, it's just not even fair to call it a TV anymore. But some neighbors had come over and we're all watching the TV. And the guy on the TV said something that if I live to be 1,000, I won't forget. My grandfather's there, my grandma, my parents, some of the neighbors, and we're watching this TV. And by the way, they'd make you hold the rabbit ears. How many of you remember? To get a better picture. And while you'd be holding the rabbit ears, your teeth would vibrate. I think we were getting nuked all at the same time. Well, I'm standing up there holding the rabbit ears. And the guy on the TV said, oh, what the heck. That's what he said. And my granddad said, what'd he say? I said, he said, oh, what the heck, Grandpa. He said, turn it off and put it in the barn. You see, I was raised in a house where you didn't cuss and you didn't use substitute words to cuss. I said, Grandpa, he said, nobody's talking like that in my house. Amen. Now, here's a businessman, a farmer, who employs 1,000 people at the packing house, who sells thousands of cattle every week. But he said, that's not coming in our house. Your TV doesn't say, oh, what the heck anymore. And somehow we got comfortable giving them our eyes and our ears. We said, talk to me. Show me. And then we wonder why we're unstable. God says, do not, if you would, walk in the counsel, the influence of the ungodly. It was a couple of years ago, I was doing a trial in Iowa, and it was during March, this time of year when March Madness was going on. And I went back to my room, and I wanted to see some of the scores, so I turned on the TV, and I have the remote in my hand, and I'm channel surfing. How many of you like the remote? How many of you like that? Yeah. By the way, it's in the Bible, the man is to hold the remote, okay? You say, is that really in the Bible? I hope so, because I'm saying it. And I want to see scores is what I'm looking for. And while I'm channel surfing, I land on something. Now, it wasn't X or R, nothing like that. But it sure wasn't godly. And I'm sitting there watching it. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, tomorrow in that courtroom, you're going to want me to help you, aren't you? And you are going to be so unstable in that courtroom because you got comfortable with the counsel of the ungodly. You're 100% in control of where you put your eyes and ears. The only person who can control mine is me. The only person who can control yours is you. And how many of you know kids are God's little spies? How many of you are aware of that? Listen to me, Mom and Dad, Grandpa. They know what you're watching. They know what you're listening to. What would it take for you to say, I'm done putting my eyes and ears where God doesn't want it? I do not want to be unstable. Number one, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Wow. Now, this means exactly what it says. Have you ever seen somebody do something? You say, look at the way they're acting. Look at the way they're talking. Look at the way they're behaving. That's this word, do not stand in the way of sinners. God says, I don't want you to do what they would do. Do not stand in the same way. Now, I was given years ago a help for this, and I want to share it with you, because if you were to ask me, what's the one thing I use out of the Bible 1,000 times in every courtroom, it's this verse. I do not want to stand in the way of sinners. The Bible says the day you got saved, you became an ambassador for Jesus Christ. An ambassador is someone who represents the Savior. And if you're saved, that's you. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, but you are an ambassador for Jesus. The scripture says that. An ambassador's one job is to make the person who chose them look good. When America chooses an ambassador and we send them overseas, they better make America look good or we're pulling them back. Here's the question. Did you make Jesus look good this week? You are his ambassador. That's the standard. To not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Did I make Jesus Christ look good this week? It's the simplest of tests. And I ask myself that dozens and dozens of times every day as his ambassador. My office called me. I was in San Diego doing a case. And they said, get to the airport early. There's been a bad thing with airplanes. They've confiscated some. They're taking them over. Some are crashing. And it's all tied up at the airport, so get there super early. They're going through all the luggage. Well, I went to the San Diego airport, and when I got there, the place was jammed. And my airline had shut everything down, all the electronic kiosks and everything. They shut it all down. And there were two lines for my airline. And the lines were huge, huge. I take this auditorium side to side five times. They were huge. And the minute I saw those lines, I got ticked off. How many of you understand the word ticked off? You say, why'd you get ticked off? I don't like lines. How many of you don't like lines? Hold your, okay. Now, wait a minute. At the San Diego airport, I got one job in life. Make the Lord look good. That's my job. That, by the way, is your job. And the devil's tactic is to get you to forget your one job in life. To just get you ticked off and mad and angry. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for lines? Whoa. I'm standing in those lines. People are upset. They're cussing terrible. And I did not cuss. But I came very close to saying amen a couple of times. I was steamed. I was mad. Good night. Do you understand? To blow God's promise, all you got to do is forget your one job. Make the Son of God look good. Finally, after 2.5 hours, I got to the counter. I walked up to the counter and the lady said, Mr. Gibbs, your flight's in 3.5 hours. I said, yeah, ma'am. She said, oh, you're never going to make it. You should have come earlier. I said, lady, if brains was gasoline, you couldn't prime an aunt's motorcycle. She said, well, you don't have to get mad. I said, this is not mad. You want to see mad? I'll show you. That's another whole level yet. By the way, how many of you here have ever mouthed off? Hold your hand up, would you? Sure. She said, well, let me explain. She said, you see that line over there? I said, yeah. She said, that's the only line through security right now. And she said, do you see that sign? I said, yeah, I see that sign. She said, from there in is over 2 hours plus. And to get to that sign is about 3 or 4 hours. And I got one job with that lady. Make the Lord look good. You want to know how good a Christian you are? What does it take to make you forget your one job in life? To make the Lord Jesus look good. Whew. I called my office. I said, get me on another airplane. They said, there's not an airplane for a month. I said, get me a rental car. They said, there's more airplanes than rental cars. I said, get me a motel room. They said, there's not a motel room on planet Earth right now. No, wait, I got one job in life. And if what I do, I want to have God prosper it, I cannot stand in the way of sinners. I said, give me that boarding pass. I don't know what I'm going to do. And all I could keep thinking of was, how'd I get in this mess? How many of you ever said that to yourself? How'd I get in this mess? I walked out over a man bridge into the parking lot. That's where they had the lines all strung out at the San Diego airport. And I'm standing out there in the sunshine, and it's just steaming me. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody call my name. Brother Gibbs, Brother Gibbs. And I look up, and I don't know the guy's name, but here comes a preacher. I recognize his face. And he's coming at me, and I said, Lord, I am not in the mood to mess with a preacher right now. How many of you know there's moments you just don't want to see them? It's not the right moment. This guy comes up to me. He's all bubbles. Oh, Brother Gibbs, Brother Gibbs, so good to see you. Yeah, I said, good to see you too, right? He said, I heard you preach a couple weeks ago. I said, oh, good. He said, you remember what you preached on? I said, no. He said, you preached on, this is the day the Lord hath made, and will what, Brother Gibbs? And you preach, that's a command. And we will what, Brother Gibbs? Rejoice and be glad in it. Now I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, his mental elevators are not hitting any of the upper floors, none of them. Finally, he says, isn't this great out here? Isn't this great out here? I said, great out here. This is a nightmare. What are you talking about? He said, oh, you haven't figured it out, have you? I said, figured what out? He said, everybody in these lines is upset. I said, I figured that out. And they're all worried about dying because some planes went down and people died. So they're all wondering about dying. And he said, Brother Gibbs, you wouldn't believe what a witnessing opportunity this is. He said, let me show you something. Our line's going this way. Other lines are coming this way. And he reaches over and taps a guy on the shoulder. And he said, I got something here I'd like to give you. It's a crazy day, isn't it? And before the guy could answer, his wife jumped in. I mean, you know, ladies will answer the phone when it doesn't even ring. I mean, she just. Bless her heart, she just jumped in. This preacher said, God make you wonder if you should get on an airplane today, huh? And the lady said, I've been telling them that for the last 5 hours. There's no way. We are not ready to die. That's what she says to us. We need to go home and forget this. Talk some sense into my husband. That preacher said to the man, I think you're going to be okay. And I don't think you're going to die today. But one day you will. And then what? And he said, I got this little gospel track that can tell you how to be ready whenever that day is. Would you take it? The man went to reach for it, and the wife snatched it. She did. She said, I'll read that to him. No, wait a minute. What happened next blew my mind. 7 people that way and 6 people this way said, have you got any more of those pieces of paper? All the devil has to do is get you to forget your one job in life. To make the Son of God look good. He's handing out these tracts and he looks at me and he said, isn't this great out here, Brother Gibbs? Whoa. He said, now, Brother Gibbs, we do have a problem out here in the parking lot. I said, what's that? He said, your face. I said, my face. He said, yeah. Can I remind you, your face is God's billboard. All day long, we're reading each other's faces. And he said, you look as upset as everybody. You forgot your one job. he handed me a bunch of tracks and he said, come on, fix your face and let's go to work. Before we got through security, he and I got to pray personally with over 60 people who accepted Christ. One lady hugged my neck. Oh my goodness, she hugged and cried. And she said, oh, thank you for being here. This is going to change eternity for me. And I said, ma'am, you're thanking the wrong person. That man over there, I forgot my one job. But he didn't. What does the devil have to do to get you to forget your one job in life is to make the Son of God look good? That's your job. That's my job. Whoa. Number one, be careful where you put your eyes and ears. Do not let the counsel of the ungodly in. Number two, do not stand in the way of sinners. I got one precious job in life. Wow. Look at number three and we're done. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what a scorning person is? It's a griper. It's a complainer. In the Old Testament, God killed the children of Israel by the thousands for griping. How many of you think we'd be in trouble if God started killing Christians for griping? We'd have a lot of funerals to do if we just had preachers alive to do them. Or lawyers. It is a wicked sin to gripe. It's a wicked sin. If I could get to your kids before you could, before you could tell those children, now don't you tell that lawyer nothing. And that'd be good counsel. I wonder if the kids would say, Mom, gripe? No way, that's a sin. Mom wouldn't gripe. She wouldn't do that. Dad gripe? No way. It's a sin. Brother Gibbs gripe? It's a sin. God says, stop it. He doesn't say cut back on it. He says, get out of the seat of the scornful. What does it take to make you or me gripe? I was getting on an airplane at 5 a.m. and I'm not a morning person. How many of you are slow in the morning? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah, there's God's people right there. How many of you like my wife? She's just boundless in the morning, just precious lady. Ought to be legal to shoot you, okay? I'm getting on an airplane. It's ahead of 5. The flight's going to leave. And I looked at the seats that they put in this new airplane, a Delta airplane, and they were unbelievably small. And I thought, those are the smallest seats I've ever seen. Once I'm wedged in, I won't need a seatbelt. I won't. Just wedge me in, turn this baby upside down. I won't go anywhere. Well, I walk back to where my seat was. And there's a flight attendant standing there. And I didn't say one thing about her. I commented on the seat. I said, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. How many of you know the word puny? I mean, just these seats, they were ridiculous. And by the way, not just this way, this way. If the guy in front of you leaned back, you could brush his teeth for him. I mean, his head's in your lap. I said, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. It's 5 a.m. She explodes. I said, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. And loud, she said, well, you could lose weight, you know. Oh, sweet Alabama. Five in the morning, I got the mouth of the South, and she said, you could lose weight, you know. I said, you're right, and you could get prettier. I said, you are one of the most seriously cosmetically challenged people I've ever met. I said, I'll bet your mother didn't even keep the baby pictures, did she? Now, the people around me started clapping. There was a businessman there, got his pen. I said, say, Daddy, I want to write all that down. She teared up. I said, sweet Sue, if you think tears are going to help you, you're dreaming. Hey, she started it. I'm just finishing it. And I felt wonderful. Now, I want you to hear me. I felt wonderful with sin. I felt wonderful breaking the heart of God. I felt wonderful shattering Psalm 1. I'm leaving Tampa on my way to Atlanta, from Atlanta all the way to Oregon, to Portland, to do a trial. That night I'm in a Bible conference. And I feel wonderful sinning. I put my coat up overhead in the overhead, and when I did, my track slipped out. And I picked them up, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, probably not a good chance to give her one right now. I want you to hear this. If you can't button that lip, the world doesn't want to hear about your Jesus. I thought, what's the matter with me? I went up to the front where she was still standing, and I said, can I talk to you a minute? She said, no, I've heard enough from you. I said, I know, but what I did to you broke the heart of God. I broke Jesus' heart. He's my Savior. And I wouldn't blame you for not taking this, but please don't hold me against this, please. What would it take for you to say, I'm done griping? I'm not cutting back. I'm done. In everything, give thanks. Wow. She took the track. As I was getting off the plane, the captain was standing at the door saying goodbye to people. And I saw her point at me, the big guy there in the blue suit. I thought, oh, here it comes. Have you ever had your mouth get you in trouble, right? I walked up and he said, I want to thank you for what you did. I said, I don't know if you got the story, I blew it today. He said, no, you landed well. And he said, I see so-called Christians all the time who are horrible with their mouths. Horrible. Get out of the seat of the scornful. I checked in a motel. It's about 3 a.m. I've just gotten out of one trial. I'm on my way to another. And a girl at the counter gave me my key. I went up to my room. And something happened in that room I wasn't ready for. My room had no running water, none. No water in the sink, none in the commode, none in the shower. No running water at all. So I called down to the front desk to the young lady. And I said, my room has no running water. Now, I don't know what she should have said, but what she said ticked me off again. I said, my room has no running water. She said, I know. I said, what do you mean, you know? She said, I can't explain it. It's the only room in the whole place with no running water. And it wasn't going to be your room. It was another guy's room. But he was so mad about no water, we gave him your room and you this one. Because you were so late coming, we thought maybe you weren't coming. I said, young lady, you owe your mother an apology for the day you were born. I said, to call you stupid would be to defame the word. Isn't it amazing how words just come to us when we start griping? Suddenly we're eloquent. Finally, after I let her have it for a while, I said, you still there? She said, yeah, I am. I said, you got anything to say, young lady? She said, well, since you ask, I got one thing to say. I said, what? I want to hear it. She said, I go to a Bible college where you come preach every year. And she said, I pray for your ministry every day. And she said, I don't have hardly anything, but I send a little money every month to help you fight. I said, hey, you knew I was kidding, right? I don't need water. Who needs water? I could have died. I went down and got on my knees. And I said, young lady, what I did to you, I'd never want somebody to do to my wife or daughter. I broke God's heart. Every time you gripe, every time you break the heart of God. She said, oh, it was my fault. I said, no, 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 it wasn't. It's never somebody else's fault. Get out of the seat of the scornful, period. That next morning, she went to court with me, sat there and helped me in court all day. Hugged my neck when she left and thanked me for the privilege to help me. And all I could keep thinking of is, God, I dropped the ball so bad. About a year later, Brother Riggs, I was in her home church. And I walked in and the pastor said, you know, a girl in our church said she met you at a motel where she was working at night. And I knew just what he was talking about, but I decided to play dumb. I said, really, where was that now? And he told me, he said, what'd she have to say? Just how much she loves you. What a thrill it was to go to court with you. How she appreciates what you do and how good you were to her. She said, I was good to her. Yeah. I said, preacher, let me tell you the story. I told him every bit of it. I said, she didn't tell you any of that? He said, no, none of it. Brother Gibbs, when you said she owed her mother an apology for the day she was born, here's what you don't know. She was abandoned on the mission field in a dumpster. She doesn't know who her mother or father are. She doesn't know her birthday. She was thrown away. She has nothing except Jesus. And she never complains. Not ever. I said, preacher, I want her. I want her spirit. Whoa. Do these three things, and whatever you do will prosper. But you got to say, God, I'm going to be careful where I put my eyes and ears. You got to say, Lord, I got one job in life, to make the Son of God look good. And Lord, by your grace and power, I am absolutely done griping. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. What a thrill to be your child. But now I pray we'll leave here touched not by my words. If these dear people forget everything I've said, that's of no consequence. I don't want to forget what you said, your word. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I want to leave here touched by the power of the word. I want some things changed. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. You got your hand up, I want you to get up out of your seat and make your way to this altar. The Rochesters are going to sing. We don't go to an altar to see me. We go there to see the Lord. Would you come? All through Scripture, God summoned people to an altar. What a privilege, what an honor. Do these three things, and whatever you do will prosper. But don't do them, we'll be just so unstable. We'll be like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Father, I bow with these people. Forgive me. What a privilege to be your child, heaven bound. And we get to represent you. Our one job in life is to make the Son of God look good. To our families, to our mates, to our friends, to this world. And Father, forgive us where we've been casual with our eyes and ears. Forgive us where we've let the counsel of the ungodly in. And God, forgive us by your grace for great men. We're without excuse. You give us the breath and the ability to speak. And your word says, let your words be always with grace, always with grace. Hear the cry of our heart in Jesus' name.